hey, you know, I just feel like, man, I feel a lot better now that y'all sitting there. Whew. But I just feel like I can preach a little longer because food's already there. The roast isn't going to burn. The food is in the house. But I won't take too much liberty if that's okay. If that's okay. Praise the Lord. I want to talk about the gifts of Christmas today. And we started last week. We need to grasp this every year. I actually now can sing the Christmas songs. And I reflect on them. Sometimes, you know, it's just different. But when you sing the Christmas songs, if you will reflect on what Christ has done for us according to His Word. Because those songs are packed full of good Bible and good theology. It'll touch your heart. We were singing about the manger, and I just began to think about the manger as I was working Christ and what a gift that manger was all those years ago and what a gift that manger is today. But sometimes I wonder if we understand the gifts, the real gifts of Christmas. And I like gifts. Thank you for your annual Christmas offering to our family. I do love you and appreciate you. It's always been a blessing to us. And as you know, we blessed our staff from your tithes and offerings. And we did bless them very generously where you know. And so thank you. I love gifts, don't you? I love to give gifts. That's why I was teasing with some of my family. I know what you're getting for Christmas. Because it's fun to go out and buy gifts for people. It's just fun to give. The Scripture says it's better to give than receive. But boy, it's fun to get them too, isn't it? Do you enjoy gifts? What are you getting for Christmas? Hopefully not just a hard way to go. I want to read 15 verses. I was only going to read one or two. But in 15 verses, we can read the Christmas story. And why not read it? Why not read it, even if it does take another 30, 40 seconds? Let's read from Luke 2, verses 1 through 15. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. So people, and I'm going to keep reading, I'm going to read 15 verses, but people were traveling, they were on the go, they were on the move. It would have been very busy on those dirt roads. Most people would have been walking. Few people would have had a donkey. A very, very few people might have had a horse, wealthy people or governance-type people. But the highways would have been packed because people had to go to the town where they were born for their census. I'm just painting a picture. It's kind of like what Fashion Square will be like Saturday. And it is true. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem because he was of the house and lineage of Bethlehem. I'm going to keep reading. But we just finished a series on David, and King David was born in Bethlehem. Remember, he was out there tending sheep in Bethlehem when he was called to be king. So really, Saul was the first king, but David was the first great king. He was also from Bethlehem. Mary and Joseph had lineage from Bethlehem, which is called Bethlehem because to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And I thought Pastor Jill really unpacked that really well last week. And I'm just making a few comments as we go today where you can grab a context here. Is I thought she really did well. She had her surgery Monday. It went well. She's home recovering. Her second knee surgery, Pastor Jill, had one in June and now one during Christmas. And so continue to pray for her. But this time she's doing a lot better than she did last time. Can I get an amen back there? Love it. But so now, you know, she talked about might have had a donkey. She's pregnant, come any day, and they're walking or riding. Was it about 90 miles? Is that what she told us last week? Anybody walked 90 miles lately? In Jesus' name. Anybody walked 90 miles lately? Did it cut me off altogether? Testing 1, 2, 3. I'm back. Sorry, we've got all kinds of sound demons. It's not our technicians either. It's some other things going on the last few weeks. And we will continue to bring the professionals in to look at it. But can you imagine? Is anybody, Allison's out of town. I know she's pregnant. Is anybody pregnant in the house? Okay. I bet nobody ever asked you that from the pulpit. Megan, how would you, when you're 9 months pregnant, how would you like to walk to Tucson? You don't even want to walk to the bathroom, but you have to. I get it. Okay. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. It was in a barn. It was probably a cave that was a horse stall or sheep stall, probably. It was a stall in a cave. There was no room in the inn. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling what? What? Not clothes? It was cloths, wasn't it? She gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there's no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all of the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Hey, everybody, Jesus is alive and well. He was born that day. Keep going. And this, watch this. Now watch this, because I'm going to talk about it. And Tim has been talking to me about this for 2 weeks. So, Tim, thank you for this piece. I can't help but share it. And this will be a sign for you. Now, here comes the sign. It wasn't the angels. It wasn't the multitude of angels. How did they know which manger to go to? And I could ask more questions. The star didn't come till later. That's a good guess. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in... what's the sign? And lying in a manger. Now, I don't know if there were other babies in mangers or kids, but I imagine Bethlehem was so packed, they were sleeping everywhere they could. This wasn't the only overflow. But the sign was the swaddling cloths. So you always thought that the swaddling cloth was just a little blanket. I'm sure Joseph carried blankets. He knew what the possibility was. They knew they were going to try to stay in the inn. They couldn't. They never knew that they'd stay. Now watch this, and I got to be quick. But this is powerful. The lambs, most of the lambs, the majority of the lambs that were raised for the slaughter at the temple, because see, even in those days, they were sacrificing innocent lambs without spot or... it is known in the Jewish culture and the Hebrew culture that most of those lambs were raised in the Bethlehem area. Almost all of them. And I don't have time to tell you everything that you could learn in the Scripture. I think it's interesting, though, on another note, and just ponder that this week. David was a shepherd in Bethlehem. He probably raised some of those lambs. When the lamb was ready, it had to be inspected. Because before they could send the lamb to the temple in Jerusalem, and how many of you know what the lamb symbolized? Say Jesus. All the way through the Scripture, the lamb without spot or with blemish was pointing to the Messiah, Jesus. Jesus, and we talked about the incarnation last week, was all God, all man. He was a perfect man, and God is perfect. Jesus was without spot or blemish, and Jesus is without spot or blemish. And it says he's coming to a bride, his church, without spot or blemish. But what they would do with these lambs, and the literal translation isn't swaddling cloths, it's strips of linen. What they would do, the priesthood would do, when they came to get the lambs to take them to Bethlehem, as they inspected the lamb's leg, they would wrap a piece of cloth around it, a piece of white linen. As they inspected the other lamb, oh, that leg's good, they'd wrap a piece of linen around it. And they did that because as they inspected the lamb, that would mean that area of that lamb was spotless. When they identified a spotless lamb, that little lamb would be completely wrapped in swaddling cloths, strips of linen, and then carried to the temple to be offered on the sacrifice. Our Lamb, Jesus Christ, was born in a manger. They had blankets. Joseph would have given him his coat. But the shepherds knew when they found a little baby wrapped in the swaddling cloths of the Lamb that it was the Lamb of God. It was the Messiah that would sacrifice his life for everybody. How'd I do, Tim? Is that powerful? See, Scripture will always confirm Scripture. There's no... Look, we could stop right there today, and if you don't believe Jesus is real, you've got to believe it now. There's no coincidence in the Word of God. Well, now you want to go to the message? I'm unpacking the context for you. The angel said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom His favor rests." For those that love Jesus Christ with all their heart, soul, strength, and mind, His favor will rest on them. Look to your neighbor and said, "Hey, don't you want the favor of God?" When you've got the favor of God, He protects you when it's tough. When you've got the favor of God, He lifts you up when you need lifting up. When you've got the favor of God, He keeps you clean and health. When you've got the favor of God, you can have victory over every situation. When you've got the favor of God, doors open that wouldn't open. When you've got the favor of God, doors close that need to close. I need an amen on that one. I'm glad He closed some doors for me. Hallelujah. Christmas is about a lamb named Jesus Christ, who was wrapped in linen cloth. It said, "For those that have made me Lord and Savior, my favor will rest." Listen, you're going to find what you're looking for at Christmas. If you're like Pharaoh, who had a hard heart and who God hardened his heart even harder. You can read that in the Scripture. Pharaoh got the heart he wanted. If you're critical, you'll find critical. You'll get what you look for at Christmas. If you believe the lies that the devil sows and the world sows, you'll believe the lies. Whatever you're looking for Christmas, you'll receive. Whatever you're looking for Christmas this morning, you will receive. I tell you, I'm looking for Jesus. It's not a Christmas message, but someday that trumpet's going to sound and Jesus is going to return. And in a twinkling of an eye, we're going to go spend eternity with Jesus. But someday, hallelujah, go ahead and clap if you want to. I'll wait on you. You're going to get if you're looking for Christ-likeness and good stuff, you'll get. If you're looking for joy, you'll receive joy. If you're looking for grace, you'll receive grace. Whatever you're looking for during the Christmas season, you're going to receive it. Even David said, "Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit in me." Maybe that's your prayer this morning. You've struggled in an area of your life. Well, I'm telling you, if you'll ask Christ into your heart, or if you're already saved and you're still struggling, He'll help you if you're looking for Him. Say, "I'm looking for Him." Say, "I'm looking for Him." See, those that have the favor of God, don't you love having the favor of God on your life? I prayed that prayer. Almost every night during a certain phase of my children's lives, I went to each of their bedrooms, and I didn't necessarily pray over them. I blessed them. And one of the blessings I blessed them with 5 days a week, sometimes 7 days a week, was the favor of Jesus Christ in their life. Because those who experience that favor will give that favor away. If I've been forgiven, I can forgive. If I've been loved, I can love others. If I've got joy, I can share joy with others. Listen, wherever we go during the Christmas season, we ought to be the people that light the place up. If you've got Jesus Christ in your heart and you're the most critical person at work, just don't talk anymore, please. I went to meddling a little bit, didn't I? What are some of these gifts? Well, they're simple. My messages are always simple. Is one, the gift of forgiveness. Everybody needs forgiveness. Right? Look, everybody needs forgiveness from Almighty God, and forgiveness comes through His Son, Jesus Christ, that was wrapped in linen strips, the perfect spotless lamb, died at Calvary so that we can be forgiven. We all need forgiveness. But let me say this too. Even this way, among brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to learn forgiveness. Somebody give me an amen in that corner. Because I'm going to make mistakes and you're going to make mistakes, and it's easy to preach this in a church where there's tons of love and unity. There's nothing terrible going on in our church right now. We're just imperfect people that God has to keep dealing with. But forgiveness is a wonderful thing. If I've hurt you, please forgive me. If you've hurt me, I'll please forgive you. We need to learn to forgive each other. We need to learn to forgive our children. We need to learn to forgive our parents. We need to learn to forgive our next door neighbor, even though they do scoop their dog poop up in the backyard and throw it over into your backyard. I don't know where I came up with that. We love forgiveness. There's a gift of forgiveness. There's a little boy that wrote Santa Claus. Hey, can we just have fun? Santa's in the house. Now, I don't know what you do with Santa. Do what God has given you to do. We taught our kids who Santa was and who Jesus was. But I think Santa's pretty harmless if you don't tell them till they're 6 years old. How many of you, when you found out who Santa really was disappointed? Come on, tell me the truth. I was extremely disappointed. But when Christmas came and the next year and I got the gift I wanted, I didn't care about Santa. I don't think it matters either way. Maybe I should have tricked y'all for 6 years, but we didn't. But we let him enjoy Santa. We let him sit on Santa's lap. Santa's in the house. Santa, stand up and turn around and give us a ho, 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 Merry Christmas. See there? Little boy was writing Santa Claus, and I kind of read from this letter. Dear Santa, there are three boys that live in our home. Jeffrey is 2, and he is good some of the time. David is 4, and he is good some of the time. Norman is 7, and he is good all of the time. I am Norman. Look to your neighbor and say, you're not Norman. Because the Bible teaches us, hey, some of y'all are going to have to open your Bibles and check me out today. I'll be sure. There are no Normans in the Bible. There are no Normans on the earth. There are no Normans in this house today. Nobody's perfect except the spotless, blameless Lamb, Jesus Christ, who was wrapped in strips of linen, went to the cross and died, was buried in strips of linen, but He came out of the strips of linen, and was raised. Even while we were yet sinners, that Lamb, Jesus Christ, died for you and me. Hallelujah. All have been Normans and fall short of the glory of God. Let's just all have been Norm. Look to your neighbor and say, you are Norm, Norm, Norm. But Jesus is Savior, 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 who forgives Normans like you and me. Can you give the Lord a hand? Forgiveness means to release one's sins from the sinner. I've got carried away. I'm skipping pages now. Skipping pages. Let's skip two pages. Chile's getting better by the minute. I'm glad Jesus loves us, aren't you? If you don't know Him this morning as Savior, He still loves you. He came on Christmas Day and died on Good Friday, if I could put it that way, so that you can experience forgiveness. And when you experience forgiveness, He also gives us the gift of peace. You know, even as we sang the Christmas carols this morning, I sense just a manifestation of the peace of Jesus Christ. There's so much peace in this house today because you're here. You brought peace with you. Isn't it wonderful to have peace? Peace with God through Jesus Christ. To have peace because we know as we walk with Him, Jesus has got it. Jesus always has me. He's always got my back. He goes before me. He is at my right. He's at my left. He talks to me behind me. Look, there's so much peace when you know Jesus Christ. And that, what a gift that came from Christmas. That's what the angel said. That there'd be not just forgiveness, but there'd be peace on whom His favor rests. Best I remember, and I didn't get to study it this time around, and some of y'all can, the word favor there means grace. We need His grace, don't we? Psalm 119 and 165, and just listen. Great peace have they who love Your law, and nothing can make them stumble. Great peace have they who love Your law, and nothing can make them stumble. Now, in Psalm 119, 165, the Psalm 119 is the biggest one. It's big. It's huge. The word law there is Torah. It is in the psalm, that one psalm, 25 times. Let me translate it for you. Torah, the Word of God. So great peace have they who love Your Word, and nothing can make them stumble. And the word itself, Torah, is used in the active sense. This whole scripture is an active scripture that means to love the Word of God, to love God's ways. Look, what a favor, what a blessing. Once you've made Christ your Savior, you've experienced forgiveness of sins and made right with Almighty God. And if you haven't, ask God, fall in love with the Word of God. Fall in love with the ways of God. Look, the ways of God are, oh, I can't do this and I can't do that and I can't do... Now, there are certain behaviors in the Bible. The Bible teaches us what to believe. Everything we believe needs to be filtered through God's Word, God's ways. Don't you want to do God's way? Why wouldn't we say want to? Let me hear it. Not have to. Why wouldn't we... Say it with me. Want to. Why wouldn't we want to live God's ways? His ways are good. His ways are always for us. The scripture says He's for us and not against us. His ways keep us safe. His ways open doors. His ways grant us favor. His ways helps us when we're suffering. But keeping His ways. Look, it's not enough to believe the Bible. It's not enough to believe the Christmas story. It's not enough to believe the Scriptures. Come on, somebody. We need to behave the Scriptures. We need to live the Scriptures. But not in a legalist, oh, I got to do this and I got to do that and I can't do that and I shouldn't be doing that. Well, there are some things you shouldn't be doing. But what you should be doing far outweighs what you shouldn't be doing. His ways are good. Chocolate cake is good every time. And I'll tell you, I got back there. I'm starting to preach about cake now. Preachers can preach about anything. Two Sundays ago was pecan pie. And I had to repent later. When you eat pecan pie over Thanksgiving for breakfast, lunch, and dinner and midnight snack, you've got to repent. I'm taking a time out. We need a little commercial. How many like chocolate cake? How many like chocolate cake with icing? Oh, glory to Jesus. Who likes cake better? Let me see it. Who likes icing better? More of a, you know, I told Leticia this morning, she's cutting that chocolate cake, and it's got this big, thick beads of, chocolate icing. I mean, I'm feeling the victory even talking about it. And I said, Leticia, I just want to take my finger and scrape it across that cake. And that's what I did. Lynn, what are you laughing about? That's your piece. You were a cake person. I ate your icing. Is chocolate cake good every time? What kind you like, Pat? Well, I like any kind. Chocolate cake is just good, better, and best. I don't care who makes it, where you buy it, how you eat it. It's all good. Jesus' word and Jesus' way is all good. It's yes and amen. It's truth. Whether you believe it or not, it's truth. And truth will always be truth. And truth always works for good. Truth is good. The Torah is good. God's word is good. God's ways is good. Why wouldn't you want to eat it all the time? Why wouldn't you want to learn it and then behave it? You said, I can't behave it. You're right, but He'll give you grace to line up with what you believe. You see, just to believe's not enough. We've got to get lifestyles that line up with the Word of God. And when your lifestyle lines up with the Word of God, come on, come on, come on, come on. The favor of Almighty God will rest upon your life like you've never seen before. Grace and favor of God as He empowers us to walk in victory. I've skipped three pages. Aren't you glad chili's cooking? Dear Lord, I understand that a lot of times, and some are you this morning, because in a crowd this size, that Christmas can be a very difficult time. And it's true. Let me say this. My heart goes out to you. And guess what? There are some difficulties at Christmas, maybe for all of us, because typically we reflect a little bit at Christmas about life, about others. But I do understand that for some it's difficult. So sometimes these difficulties rob us of the gifts of Christmas, the real joys of Christmas. I think there are basically three. There's more than three, but three that I want to talk about this morning. Guilt, grief, and grudges. Three G's. Guilt will steal your joy. Grief will steal your joy. And grudges will steal your joy. You know, Satan has a way, not just at Christmas, but any time for that matter. If the enemy cannot ever take your salvation, that's good news. Isn't that good news? Nobody can take your salvation. But the enemy likes to remind us of things. He look to your neighbor, say, there's no Normans. And after you received Christ, you didn't become the perfect Norman either. I wonder what it would be like if we could project for each individual in this room, including me, one at a time, some of the thoughts we had in the last 30 days. Now look back to your neighbor and said, I told you there aren't any Normans in here. Isn't Jesus good? Isn't Jesus good? But the enemy likes to throw the past on you. He likes to make you feel guilty about things you've already been forgiven for. Anybody ever been there but me? You know, sometimes God's forgiven. Look, if you've asked in Christ to forgive you for the things in your past, they're forgiven. But maybe you need to forgive yourself. But if it's not you, maybe you need to put Satan under your feet, like the Scripture says. James said, "Resist, submit to God and resist the devil and he'll flee from you." The devil wants to make you feel guilty when you're not guilty. The devil wants you to make you to feel guilty when you've been forgiven. The devil wants to make you feel guilty because you made another mistake and you're going to make another mistake, and that enemy will pound you to a pulp, or he'll remind you of what happened 10 years ago or 15 years ago. And some of those mistakes, and we all have mistakes that we're sad for. We can't go back and change it. I made decisions that hurt me and hurt others. I made choices that hurt others around me, and I'm sorry for that. I got forgiven for that, but I can't go back and do anything about it. Somebody say amen. The enemy wants you to carry guilt. Jesus said, "I want to forgive you. I want to cleanse you. I want to take you into your today. I want to take you into your future." And at Christmas, if we'll focus on the spotless lamb that was wrapped in those strips of cloth that came on Christmas Day, he will help you release that guilt. Jesus does not want you carrying past guilt this morning. Now listen, if you're guilty and you're sinning and you don't know Christ, that's good. And you run to Jesus and you ask for His forgiveness and you invite Him into your life, the guilt drives you to grace. That's a good guilt. That's good conviction. I wouldn't be here today if I hadn't sat in that little church and was under tremendous conviction for the way I was living. I wasn't living right. I was lost. I was guilty. And Jesus came into my life. I invited Him in and He washed the guilt and sin away. The power of your past, I'm not being like a lack of compassion, is very powerful. It somewhat shapes us. It somewhat molds us. But aren't you sick and tired of being hurt by your past? It's Jesus has forgiven you. He's God. You need to forgive you. And the power of your past is powerful, but the power of your future in Jesus Christ is more powerful than the power of your past. Say, go, guilt. Say, go, guilt. In Jesus' name. And then there's grief. Dear, I don't know what I was thinking. I was going to preach for 3 days. I got 2 more messages for next week. Prophet Micah said this, and I've got to read this. Regarding sins when we repent, God will hurl all your iniquities into the depths of the sea. How you like that? There's another scripture that says He'll take our sins and throw them as far as from here to the west. Micah says He'll hurl them into the depths of the sea. Something like this. Give me my computer picture. You ever hit the delete button? When the enemy comes along, he's trying to throw guilt and grief on you, just hit the delete button in the name of Jesus. Beep. Sometimes I hit him by accident. I mean, my kids call me the horse and buggy man. Past hurt and wounds, beep. Past sins, boop. Past mistakes, boop. Past sorrows, boop. Past wounds, boop. Delete, 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 delete. That's what Jesus does. That's why He came and went to Calvary to delete, to rescue us from pain, to rescue us from surfeiting, to rescue us from woundedness. Does anybody need some things deleted in your life this morning? Let me see your hand. Everybody say, delete Jesus! Delete Jesus! Delete Jesus! And then we carry this grief. Give me this next picture. Man, oh man, oh man. What a way to carry a load of firewood. Leave it up there. We carry grief. You know what carrying guilt and grief is like? Can I tell you? That's what words won't tell you. You know how I know? I've carried it like you have. It'll do this to you. In your spirit. It'll weigh you down. It'll beat you down. It'll beat you up. Hurt your back. It'll hurt you physically. It's a story of a man like this, and a guy was in a foreign mission field. And a lot of folks were carrying loads like this. When I went to Tanzania, that was still the main means of transportation and hauling goods, vegetables, firewood. There were more of these on the streets. And then after that is motorcycles. You should only see what they put on motorcycles. And then there were cars. This is what you saw, and there's a story. A missionary came by in a flatbed pickup truck, pulled up to a man like this, asked him where he's going. It was a few miles down the road. He said, "Well, hey, let me lighten your load." Said, "Hop on the back of my truck, and I'll carry you down there." And the gentleman that was carrying a load very similar to that hopped onto the back of the truck, and the guy takes off driving. About halfway down, he looks up in his rearview mirror, and the guy that's carrying the load didn't lay the load on the truck bed. He just sat on the truck bed. He's still carrying the load. Some of us this morning, one of your great Christmas miracles for you potentially today is you've made Christ your Savior, but you're still carrying the burdens. And Christ has paid the price. He's made a way. He'll lift the load, but you got to let it go. You got to lay it on Him. You got to give it to Him. You can't go back. Look, you're carrying a load. You're carrying a load. Just keep it up there. You're carrying a load. Some of it's a load of sin. Some of it's a load of heartache. Some of it's a load of grief. Some of it's a load, third G, keep it up there, grudges. Christmas can stir up grudges. Somebody's hurt you. Everybody in this room's old enough to have been hurt multiple times and been the victim. Everybody in here. And everybody in here has hurt somebody. Come on. Maybe. Now look, sometimes we get hurt, it wasn't intentional. Sometimes we get hurt, it was intentional. Sometimes we hurt others, it wasn't intentional. Sometimes we hurt others, it was intentional. Will you agree with me on that? We can find a lot of scripture. You know what a grudge will do to you, even if you were the victim? Some of us have been victims. Some have been victimizers. We've all been there. Yeah, but they did me wrong. Every Christmas, yeah, but they did me wrong. Every Christmas, yeah, but they did me wrong. Why don't this be the Christmas where we let Jesus take care of all that for us? Amen. Amen. Go on then. Come on. Again, I'm not showing you a lack of compassion. I know that many of us have been hurt very deeply. But I know a Savior who even from the beginning was wrapped in strips of linen. The spotless Lamb of God who will take your load for you. But you can pray this. You can pray, take it from me, take it from me. Take my grief, Lord. Take my guilt, Lord. Take my grudge, Lord. Most of the time, He's not going to take it. But most of the time, what He will say, if you could hear that still, quiet voice, if you will give it to me, I will take it. Wait, where'd my picture go? still carrying that load? That's what we do. We delete it, but we take it back. The scripture tells me that Jesus is the glory and the lifter of my head. Amen. Amen. Devil, get out of my life. Flesh, die every day. My Savior came in swaddling clothes. He died, they wrapped Him in linen cloth. But He rose on the third day. He paid a price at Calvary for my sins. He paid a price at Calvary for my guilt. He paid a price at Calvary for my grief. He paid a price at Calvary for my grudges. He paid it all. And because He paid it all, He'll carry it all. Yeah, we're going to heaven someday, but while we're on this earth, He says, let me carry your load. Let me say that again. Let me carry your load for you. Give it to me. I'm not going to take it, but if you'll give it to me, I'll take it and you will be free and free indeed. The scripture says about Jesus, He who the Son says free is free indeed. And it's time that Christian people walk in the freedom and the liberty of the spotless Lamb, Jesus Christ. Take our burdens, Lord. Take them now. See, everybody that has Christ is going to heaven someday. But we've got to walk this earth. Someday we'll all experience the gift of eternal life, Romans 6:23, that's found in Jesus Christ. So what is Christianity now? Well, it is having Christ in our heart. But it's always reaching, always walking in the direction where I'm going with Jesus' hand in my hand. I'm not in heaven yet. Look at Norman and say, you're not in heaven yet, Norman. Well, maybe some of you are Normas. It takes me a while sometimes. I'm just a Norman that's saved by grace, just like you, that still makes mistakes, that still has to practice confession, John 1:9, because John 1:8 said, don't deceive yourselves, you've all sinned. He said, and if you say you haven't, you're deceiving yourself. So that's why I'm glad 1:9 is there. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of all sins. You know, church, come on. I'm going to heaven someday, but in the meantime, I'm walking this earth. I'm walking this journey with my hand in the Savior's hands. I'm going the direction. Are you going the right direction today? If you died today, would you go to heaven? Most of us, not all of us, but there's some in here that don't know Christ. There's others that's going to heaven, but you walk around like this in your spirit. And listen, Jesus heals, Jesus saves, Jesus delivers, Jesus sets the captives free, Jesus makes whole, mind, body, spirit. He can do it all. The grace can do it all today. The power of the Holy Spirit can do it all today. You don't have to, I got Jesus in my heart. I'm justified. I've been cleansed. God said I'm coming, but you don't have to walk like this anymore. You can walk like this in faith and victory, and you can shout praise and hallelujah when you're under the gun, and you can walk victory when you're in the shadow of the valley of death. You fear no evil because He's with you. His rod and staff comfort you. We need to live victoriously. God is calling us on this Christmas service to live victoriously in Jesus Christ. That's what Christmas is all about. He's got my past. Come on. He's got my past. He took it for my past. He's got my past covered. He's got my today covered. He's with me right now when I win the trophy later. One of these days, y'all are just going to feel sorry for me and give it to me. But most importantly, He's got my future covered. That's what Christmas is about. That's what that baby in the manger is. about. Let's pray. Hallelujah.